Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
6:12. Hi, happy Monday, August 13th. Oh, Monday the 13th. You know how those go. Show number 1199. And show number 29 from the new digs, at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show. Texts and phone calls at 312-981-7200. Let's do a well-being check now on the band. Samberg, you had your anniversary yesterday?
I did.
Happy anniversary?
Oh, thank you. I guess I should say we did.
Was he involved?
He was involved, and so were the kids.
Yeah.
It was a...
2 years?
Yes. You know, it's. I love that you know it's 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
Because both my husband and my mother-in-law and Patrick all thought it was 3 years. So.
Oh, that's good. Time's flying.
Yeah.
It's 2 years since Steve was asked not to officiate the wedding.
Yes, that's
not
that to is
attempt,
true.
Asked not to attend.
Well, that too.
Well, yes.
I'm even going to mention that part.
Yeah, you're right, Dave. 2 years since Steve was not included.
So, did you have fun? What'd
yeah.
you do? Did you go somewhere?
We spent the day at East Bank. And then we went over to dinner.
Well, was it locked? You couldn't get out? Why were you at East Bank all day?
Because there's a pool and there's kids involved.
Okay.
That is a crazy, crazy Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. It was
lots of kids.
You know, it was beautiful outside yesterday. You could have been outside.
That's why we were outside. They have the pool outside.
I'm not a member at East Bank, so I wouldn't know these secret things.
You know what, though?
As somebody who has taken many guest passes of...
Are you living on the guest pass? Are you the guest pass guy?
I live the guest pass. It is a rooftop sensation.
Mm. Yeah, but I was telling Dave and Justin, and I love our kids because they are fantastic.
Disclaimer. Uh-oh.
But when they're whining at a pool on a beautiful day about kind of being bored, wanting another snack, on your anniversary, you're like, you know what? There's a lot of people that have things a lot worse than having to play in the pool without me getting in it.
Three words. Adoption.
Yeah.
You know, you can put them up for that.
So, anyway, it was
but overall, it was a win.
It was a win. Okay. Yeah.
So. How about you, Vanderbilt? How was your weekend?
I got to see the grandbaby.
Yeah, there you go.
Little Corey.
How old is that little squirt now?
She's like, 15 months old? She had her first experience eating a pickle. It was very funny.
It's great to see the little face.
The face, and she looked like Valdemar, the guy on Harry Potter.
Well, the thing is, too, a little baby,
no nose.
Little baby trusts the parents to give them something that's that they ought to have in their mouth.
Yeah,
they stick that pickle in their mouth and they go, "What the hell is this?"
She actually liked it.
Yeah,
she's a true little Norwegian girl.
Everyone remembers their first pickle,
I guess.
Little Norwegian girl.
Well, probably a quarter Norwegian.
And how old?
15 months. Yeah, and they're expecting another one in December,
I'll
have another little one.
By the way, I'm 689 months as of this morning. So.
Yeah, when do you stop counting the months?
I haven't. As I said, 689, standing by 689.
Right.
Dave Emmett, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Just back from Wrigley and a walk-off grand slam.
Yeah, just back from watching it feels like. Yeah.
Who's the big
exciting.
Hero?
David Bodie.
Oh, David Bodie. Yeah.
David Bodie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're big David Bodie guys around here. Who is he?
He's the, he was pinch hitting. He's an infielder. He was called up when Chris Bryant went on the DL.
Yes, he was.
And he's...
How many pinch hit grand slams have we had? Not a lot.
Not a lot. No.
Walk-off grand slam.
And a pinch hit walk-off grand slam. I think that's the first this year. Had walk-off home runs. Remember, Rizzo hit one after Bodie tied the game a couple
weeks
ago.
But in all of baseball.
Yeah.
A walk-off grand slam.
It's hard. I've done it in softball. Yes. I want to make a big deal about it, but I have done it. These guys.
You had a walk-off grand slam?
Yeah, one time.
All right, when's your next game? Because an anxious audience is waiting.
He's got a
doubleheader against his rival.
Is it day night so you can clear the park out and get both tickets?
It's like 3 o'clock and then we come back at 8. Yeah. No, it's like 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. It's going to be a late night.
So are you going to need a massage tomorrow? You're going to be all sore.
You're going to be
Mary's sister, Katie, was in for the dog fashion segment last week, and she gave me a hint, which was to take a rolling pin and roll out the quad because I may have damaged a little bit of the moneymakers, the legs, and in the last game. So it's been a really lovely sight this weekend of a pantsless Justin with a rolling pin working his quad from the hip down,
like Martha Stewart from Hell.
There were a couple times that my wife was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I am rolling my quad."
Yeah,
we've done it all the time with our kids. Cross country kids always use the rolling pin or this thing called the stick.
Do you have any advice?
You can buy the stick for about $29 or $39 bucks, or you could just use a rolling pin.
No, I'll use a rolling pin.
Use a rolling pin; it's more fun.
So I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to go tonight.
You know, on Friday at the Saturday Night Live exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communication, there was a lovely couple in the back of the room. Wife was the masseuse.
Oh,
yeah, great. We could have had that done for you because, as the husband pointed out, he never gets a massage.
See, you mingle. I don't mingle.
Hamburgers at work. You're not making hamburgers at home, so she's not bringing the massage.
How was your weekend, Steve?
Oh, we haven't had a time to get to that yet, because I haven't asked Joe. Joe, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
What did you do this weekend, Super Joe?
I got scout seats for the White Sox from Katie Sandberg.
Oh, nice.
Scout seats.
Who did they play? They played the Cleveland Indians.
Was David Bota there?
No.
Okay.
Yesterday Indians, was my nephew's birthday, Fitzmaurice, turned 2.
Ah, congratulations. Where'd you get him?
We got him a blanket and some, footballs and basketballs.
Cigars?
Well, yeah, those are for later.
What's his name? Fitzmaurice?
Fitzmaurice, yep.
Oh, that's so cute.
Fitz.
I'd go with Morris.
And Steve Grzanich, you were standing outside last night looking up at the Perseid meteor shower, I would
say. Yeah, after a lovely day in my backyard in my 3-foot summer escape blue plastic pool. there was no snack service or drink service. And Saturday was Edward Rover Murrow's 10th birthday, so
congratulations!
That was a big deal for
him. Why did you have a party?
Yeah, what was the throwdown?
He was awarded a cooked out hamburger of his own. So
sombreros on the dogs, or is that just at Sandberg's?
He did allow me to put on a birthday hat.
I liked that you chose a pink birthday hat.
Yes.
I saw the photos.
Yeah, it kind of clashed well with his blackness. So
and his little gray beard.
Yeah. So, it was kind of cute. He's never allowed.
You guys are all aware that dogs don't like hats, right?
Hey, listen. Can I tell you, in the 10 years, he's never allowed me to put anything on him.
Oh, he's given up.
Nothing, but he gave up.
He's given up.
That's good.
Well, we're out of time for me to tell you all the big things that happened this weekend.
Tom Skilling celebrating 40 years as Chicago's very own. Take a look back as WGN-TV honors Tom tonight on WGN-TV News at 9.
He'll be on the show.
Tom
Skilling's going to be
on. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Your
kicks. Oh, gosh, Steve, it's so great that you asked.
Top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men.
Item number one this morning is Stan Mikita, and he was one in a million, was a quote you heard over and over again. Yesterday, hundreds if not thousands of supporters made their way to the United Center to celebrate the legend, a representation of the toughness of the city of Chicago. Great stories. If you go to the Blackhawks website, read the Bob Verdi stuff. Bob Verdi wrote some great stuff and stories I'd never heard. For those of you familiar with the basics, or maybe unfamiliar with the basics, I think it was 8 or 9 when he came here, didn't speak a word of English, and played junior hockey because he was that talented, little guy with a lot of scrappy ability. Got bullied because he didn't speak any English. This is Canada. Mm-hmm. And then came here, and the Blackhawks started scouting him at a very young age. They knew they had something. And that was back in the day, Dave. You and I remember those days where you could stick with one team for your entire career.
Yes, you could, and it happened more often than not, although there were exceptions. But Stan Mikita was certainly a guy, a Blackhawk through and through. And one of those stories that came out I thought was interesting was that he played football in school with Bobby Hull.
Yeah, how about that?
I mean, and that was the first time that they ever connected.
And they played together in juniors, and Bobby Hull was the center. Mikita was a winger or a defenseman, depending on what they needed. And Bobby Hull said, "I was too stupid to play center, so they moved me."
And he loves Stan. And it's not easy for Bobby at this point. You know, Bobby's at an age now where a lot of his friends are gone.
Yeah.
So, but Savvy and a bunch of others. Savvy said he was the sweetest guy when he came up. You know, Savard said, I'm scared. I'm a kid. This is a guy that reached out and made sure that I was comfortable and showed me the way when I got to the National Hockey League. Lots of great stories about Stan Mikita. Get at Blackhawks.com. Read the Bob Verde stuff, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But rest in peace, Stan. Gone too soon. And, of course, we think about his family as well this morning and beyond. Next. If the sentence starts with Omarosa, you just got to go next, I suppose. But Omarosa, Manigault, Newman, Fruzengelage, and Farfik Nugan. A hired advisor by President Trump, even though his own White House staff said it was a bad idea, secretly accorded her firing with John Kelly. She played it yesterday with our friend Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. I have no interest in what she says, what she does.
She has a credibility issue.
Her book.
They're going to exploit that. Yeah.
Any of it. But
the idea that she could get into the situation.
That's the story.
Reporting, that's scary. And it also, there's a great article this morning about testing best men, or what did he say? The best people.
Oh, well, his whole thing, I'm going to hire the best people.
I hire the best people.
We're waiting for him to hire one.
This is a good example of somehow there's such chaos that someone was able to record in the Situation Room, and it was one of your people.
Well, and he's got 20 people in his circle that have been indicted. I mean, there's more Trump people that have been indicted than there were at the white supremacist rally yesterday that were pretending they were white supremacists. By the way, what a gutless bunch they turned out to be. Next, kids still not reunited with their parents. It's an outrage. It can't be put on the back page. Ask your representatives, your elected representatives, what they're going to do about the fact that these kids have been essentially kidnapped by the United States of America, who can't find a way to get them back to their parents.
What do you do? I don't even know what you can do at this point. If you deported the parents and the parents are in hiding because where they were trying to come from, they were in danger, so they're hiding from gangs or from violence or drugs, whatever it might be. How does the U.S. government go about finding the people that they deported?
I don't know, but it's their job.
I know, right?
It's their job. Next. 200 Afghan soldiers and police officers were killed after Taliban insurgents struck on four fronts. Meanwhile, in a war that nobody talks about in Yemen, a U.S.-backed Saudi coalition did an airstrike on a school bus and killed a bunch of kids. Reason number 10,014 why you should be glad you're waking up here and not there, as the rest of the world has tremendous trouble, and we need to clean up our end of that as well. Next. Rudy Giuliani, I don't know if Rudy's reached an age where he's repeating his stories or contradicting his stories, but Rudy Giuliani this morning says, our opinion is the James Comey conversation never happened with the president. The president never asked James Comey to go easy on General Flynn because it never happened. Rudy Giuliani said that. Rudy Giuliani, the same guy who 2 weeks ago was talking about the fact that the meeting did happen.
They're going to suffocate us with legalese. That's what this is all about. They're going to do the, which we thought as a country we were past the, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Remember when President Clinton did that and started parsing words and changing? I mean relations. Mm-hmm. You know, this kind of garbage they do with the human, or with the English language. You just wonder.
And the attention
span. We're going down that road again here.
Well, and here's the thing. There had to be a meeting somewhere this weekend where Rudy Giuliani and those closest to President Trump, maybe President Trump as well, were in a room and they said, well, let's just say it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's like that scene from Friends where Chandler goes, well, let's see what the gang thinks of this. just ridiculous. Next. Let's go live to Steve Grzanich in outer space. Steve, Parker Solar Probe is going to study the sun's atmosphere. Now, as I understand this, Steve, this rocket of sorts blasted off and is headed straight for the sun.
Yes. As a matter of fact, you know how much I hate the heat. Mm-hmm. I'm just dripping with sweat.
I can imagine.
This is awful. I mean, they didn't even put air conditioning on this thing.
I can understand. Yeah.
It's hot and it's going to get hotter. Apparently, we just passed the moon
I hope you waved.
We did. It's going to get close to the sun, so we've got a couple hundred billion miles to go.
What do we hope to learn? Humidity levels on the sun? It's not a dry heat.
It is not a dry heat. It's a hot heat. Mm-hmm. The Parker probe is going to make about 24 different approaches by the sun during its year. So it's going to be there for about 7 years. It's going to travel there for about 7 years. What we want to know is just whatever we can learn about being that close to the sun. What's coming off the sun, how hot it really is, how it interacts with the planets like Earth. So it's going to be kind of
sun
an interesting
stuff. We want sun stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a good SPF on, Steve?
It is SPF 5000.
That's
what
a great
it is.
Point. You're going to need every bit of that 5000.
Get the tops of the feet too.
Yes. Yeah. Don't forget any part of it.
If you were happy. Able to see this launch the other night,
I did see it actually.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
Well, you're going to send a rocket to the sun. You better get the good one out.
Yeah, it was the big one.
One other flying note: a 29-year-old ground agent with ground worker with Alaskan Airlines had a big Friday night. Decided to steal a commercial airplane and somehow managed to get the airplane start. The airplane, which is probably the most bizarre ability because it's more than a key, and then roll it down the runway, take off, and do a joyride in the sky over Seattle before crashing the plane after it ran out of gas into an island, thank God, and only killing himself. Lots of questions this morning, including how in the hell did that happen? And the ducks sound like he had a little indigestion. Brooks Koepka won the PGA yesterday down in St. Louis at Bellerive. He has now won 3 majors and 1 other tournament. He's got an attention span problem. Brooks Koepka is far and away the player of the year after this, and he held off Tiger Woods, who had a great tournament. But Tiger will be the story today, which is unfortunate because Brooks Koepka was the winner.
Yeah.
But Tiger ought to be part of the story because he's an old guy, and I like when the old guys do well.
Well, and he's an old guy who hasn't done this well in a long, long time.
No, although nobody thought he could play again.
We saw signs of this at the British Open. We've sort of seen this coming, Steve. I think you had him among your picks this week. And look, if he had 9 consecutive opportunities for birdies from Saturday into Sunday.
Yep.
If he converts, I don't know, a couple of those, this is a much different outcome.
I had 2 bogeys yesterday. Yeah. Those 2 bogeys are pars.
Yeah.
Then he's tied and he goes into a playoff. So
708's got a question that I watched.
What is the question?
The question is, why do the fans chase the ball when it goes out of bounds? I watched Tiger hit a lot of...
Well, those balls are expensive. They're about $5 a piece. Now, the reason is because they want to encircle that area so they are closest to the player. When the player comes over to hit the ball, you get to be on TV.
So they get to pull their cell phone out.
And you get your phone out for your selfie with Tiger Woods in the background.
Right.
That's the ideal reason. Now, there are a few people who want to be the one that finds the ball. And there was one chucklehead yesterday, Dave. I don't know if you saw him. Ball goes out. It's clearly it's seeable by everyone on the planet. And the guy goes, I got it.
He's here.
I got it.
Right. He's a pointer. He's like the beagle of golf.
He's hoping he'll get a glove signed and hand it to
him.
Or,
we all see it.
I found it. Speaking of old guys doing well, you're probably going to be happy to hear the who won our picks.
Oh. Ah, good. Congratulations, Dave. We'll get to that coming up. First, though, let's do a quick break, and we'll come back with the headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Doctor?
Doctor.
Doctor?
Doctor.
Doctor?
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Wow. Swung and missed 3 times trying to turn my own microphone on. 644. Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Hi, Kev.
Hey, morning, Steve. How you doing?
Doing fine. Good to talk to you. Last week, when I was back in upstate New York with my family for my cousin's funeral, my brother, or his brother, and I, and another cousin went out and played golf. First thing out of Kurt is the brother, Kurt's mouth was, you hit a ball into the brush, don't go in there. Deer ticks everywhere.
Yeah.
That's your Lyme disease carrier right there? That's your big Lyme disease hookup?
Yeah, how about that? nice that you did a little tie in there, but yeah, we're starting to see, you know, this is probably a good time for us to be a little bit more aware of what else is out there right now.
All right, so when you see a tick, because, you know, I check everyone for ticks, strangers, when you see a tick on somebody, how do you get it off them?
Well, it's really interesting, too, when you say that, because when we talk about deer ticks, which is what their Lyme disease, those ticks are so small, it is unbelievable how small they are. The ticks that we're used to seeing are wood ticks or dog ticks. They're fairly good sized. And how do you get them off? Well, you either take tweezers and try to grab them right at the base where they're biting you and pull them off. Sometimes you can put heat on them and they will back off. But for the most part, you're going to try to remove them with a fine set of tweezers. So that's why everyone should really go out and invest in them, to be honest with you. They're fairly inexpensive, but they can be really helpful.
That's a quick trip to Walgreens, and you can you can get the tweezers. Can you just look at your leg and yout, "Hey, tick, get off my leg." Do they respond to shouting?
Yeah, no, they really don't. I don't think their hearing's all that great, to be honest with you. Yeah.
If you don't get it all the way out or anything, does that make you more susceptible to getting whatever they're carrying?
Absolutely. So the big concern is not only the tick being on there, but how long the tick stays on there.
Because it anchors, right? It anchors to you, and then it gets into your bloodstream?
Correct. That bacteria, or you have bacteria on the prongs, and when they bite you, they're going for your blood, and actually, unfortunately, they're putting bacteria into your bloodstream. So trying to get the entire thing off is very important. If you don't think you can, you can go to an emergency room. You can go to a convenient care. We see these all the time. People freak out. They don't know what to do. So we're really pretty adept at getting them off.
Dr. Most, we're seeing more and more, especially when it comes to invasive species, but more and more of these threats from smaller places, meaning mosquitoes, ticks,
buggies,
insects, other places. I mean, is that indicative of where we are as a planet? Why are we seeing more of these things that could damage us as human beings from such small places?
Yeah, Justin, I say the world is getting smaller. With international travel and the amount of travel we have, plus with the imports that we have, we are bound more to get more and more insects in here. We can't build a wall that's going to keep these things out.
If we can, the Mexicans will pay for it.
That's right. You probably saw last week, I mean, that was a big media story in the beginning part of last week, was this Asian longhorn tick that has now been found in 7 states. Well, in Asia, it has a virus attached to it that has a mortality rate of 15%.
Wow.
Now, that gets your attention. Fortunately, here, that same tick has not had that virus in it, but it still has come here, was found in New Jersey last year, and now has spread to 7 states. So you can start to see how quickly these things spread across the country.
Dave wants that. Dave, would say hi to Dr. Most while I check you for ticks. And hold
please
still.
Please do. Yes.
Hold
still. Hey, that tickles. Doc Most, I was actually at one fine area golf course this year, and Justin and I talked about this, I think, Steve, while you were away. We're talking about the Lone Star tick, and
is that it? The Asian Lone Star?
It's different, I think. It's the this one Texas. Supposedly can make you allergic to certain foods.
Oh, no, I was here for that. I remember that discussion.
Okay.
It can make you allergic to red meat.
Yeah.
What's up with that, Doc?
How about it? You know, we're starting to see things that when we bug bites us, it can make things even worse than what we do. It turns on our immune system, and it's amazing some of the things that they can do. The Lone Star tick is one of them that really is kind of interesting because it really doesn't do a whole heck of a lot to you, but it takes you to a point where you can't eat red meat, which is like, what?
What?
How does that happen?
What?
But it turns on your autoimmune system.
Wait, is this
so
what happened to Dave? Is this why Dave eats all the kale? Did he get bit by a tick a few years ago?
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
That's it.
Doc, does modern medicine have to catch up to this kind of thing? Are you going to see when you talk about West Nile or you talk about Lyme disease and now what might be this virus with such a huge mortality rate? What do we need to do for modern medicine to catch up to these new threats?
Yeah, it depends, Justin. Some of them, it's more of an awareness. We need to be sure we find it, find out what it's caused by. There's two things that cause infections, as we talked about numerous times, virus and bacteria. Bacteria is the one that we're obviously the most concerned about because some of the bacterial ones, Lyme disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, can really cause major illness and in some cases death. The viruses, we look at it and say, okay, well, is it a bad enough virus that we should work on a vaccine? Two big ones that we probably talk about, West Nile and Zika. Well, I'll take the stand that we should be working on a vaccine for Zika, because you'd probably have women saying, you know what, that's a vaccination I want to get. West Nile, we're probably all, many of us probably all have had West Nile. We just, the symptoms haven't been that bad. So am I going to rush off to get that vaccine? Right. That's where we need to keep up on it, keep up with the bacteria as well as the viruses, and just try to decide from a medical point of view what's the next best step.
All right, we come back. I want to ask you about some of the symptoms to look out for and whether or not it's time to go to the doctor, because you get bit by these things and maybe you don't get sick right away, or maybe you don't notice what's happening to you. So when do you have to go to the doc? Coming up with Dr. Most in just a second. Again, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine. All right, Doc, so when do we have to go to the doctors? Give me some symptoms here. First off, for West Nile.
Yeah, so West Nile, you know, it's kind of interesting. A lot of these are going to have pretty much very similar symptoms. But West Nile, we're going to see you're going to have a fever, you're going to have a headache, body aches. And for most people, they're either going to have those very, very mildly. Some will not even have them at all, but some, about 1 in 150, is going to go beyond that, and it's going to get to a point where you're going to have more neurologic, and you start to get severe headaches and concerns about vision and things like that after an insect bite. That's one thing we're concerned about with West Nile.
And that's when you got to get in right away.
Yeah, for West Nile, it's interesting. Since it's caused by a virus, really what we're doing is supportive measures there. And the people that get the neurologic symptoms, like I said, are so few and far between. We've only had a few cases this year, actually. But we're more concerned probably about some of the others that are caused by bacteria.
All right, so Zika, is that bacteria?
Zika is a virus as well. We haven't seen any cases of actual United States Zika.
Okay.
So we've still seen 35 cases this year, but they've all been from people who traveled to Mexico or Central America and then have come back into the States.
As you know, I was in a band called Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever. What does that feel like?
Yeah, that one's kind of interesting, too. You say Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever. Well, it's in the Rocky Mountains. We don't have to worry about it. But, in fact, it really has gone across the entire country. And that's one where you're going to get a bite. You'll start to see a little irritation. And then you get a rash. And I say, okay, well, tell me what the rash is and what to look for. And then I'll know. The bad thing about Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever is that rash can be anything from just a very fine, what we call pinpoint rash, to large, red, blotchy areas. So, really, the take-home is if you get bit by anything and then have a rash and fever, make sure you get into the doctor.
And what about Lyme disease?
Lyme disease is one, at least, that's interesting. You know, Lyme disease, when you get that first initial rash, it's often going to be called what we call a bullseye rash. So you're going to see these concentric red circles, and it can get to be quite large. Usually not painful, often won't even itch. Someone often will have to tell you, especially if it's on like the back of your leg or somewhere that you don't see it, say, what is that? The important thing about that is we can treat both Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever as well as Lyme disease with antibiotics. And the importance of getting treated early will stop the long-term problems down the road, the neurologic problems and some of the things that we see with Lyme disease with joint illness. So it's really important for those people, if you notice that bullseye rash after you've been exposed to any ticks or outdoor activities, to get in.
Anybody feeling ill this morning after this discussion?
I'm feeling ill only because Miles is going to Wisconsin this week.
Miles is your little boy?
My little boy. So now I'm like all freaked out. Thanks, Doc Most.
Oh, it's fine. We're up there all the time. It's, you know what? I know somebody that has Lyme disease that's 90 years old that has had, you know, different bouts at different times, but they're 90 years old. Yeah. So it's so, like you said, Doc, it's treatable and, you know, it does reoccur though, right?
Yeah. And Mary, you make a good point. You know, this is going to be one that is going to hit seniors more than it's going to hit young individuals. But if you see any of that, get in and be seen. And I think probably the biggest thing is if you're going to go out, like Mary, you're up in Wisconsin, you go out. When you come in, take a shower. Look, make sure that you don't have any ticks on you. And watch out for the dogs, too. You know, those dogs that are running through, make sure that they have the right tick repellent on as well.
Yeah, because honestly, it's not like you're going to wear long sleeves and pants when it's 99 degrees out. I mean, people.
Correct. I mean, that's what they tell you, right? Long sleeve, pants with your socks. No, you're not going to do that. You're going to be out in shorts.
No, we never do.
put on DEET. DEET is safe in kids over the age of 3 months. So 30% DEET will help with this as well, with both mosquitoes as well as ticks.
And, Doc, one we didn't have time to discuss, but you mentioned this to Miles when he goes to Wisconsin, Justin, is the Gouda tick. It's native to Wisconsin, and it's in a little tiny hunting outfit. That's how you know it's from there. Doc, I don't make stuff up. You know that.
No. I read that.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Great. The pursuit of better health care starts here.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
It's 7:12 now. Omarosa Manigault Newman. Oh, so good that she's in the news this morning. Haven't we missed her? Chuck Todd had her on yesterday, and I have to admit, there was a moment of judgment by me when I heard this was going to happen. It's like, Chuck, why are you talking to her? But she is making news because she is the first Trump White House insider to talk. It's not like Sean Spicer's talked. Reince Priebus hasn't talked. None of the people who have left.
And there's a big difference. Spicer did write a book, but his book was, everything's great.
Right.
Omarosa's book is, this is the world.
Everything's not great. Yeah. And she taped, recorded, if you will, her firing from General John Kelly. Now, I tweeted this out. I thought about this. If I recorded every time I was fired, I have to put out an album.
A
greatest hits or a box set. It would take a while. But first off, here's the explanation. Give me cut three. Why don't you give me cut three? Here's cut three. Here's Omarosa from Meet the Press.
The Chief of Staff of the United States, under the direction of the President of the United States, threatening me on damage to my reputation and things getting ugly for me. That's downright criminal. And if I didn't have these recordings, no one in America would believe me. No one. So I protected myself, and I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad I did. Because now we can put to bed all those false rumors that one reporter stated and the false reports that were spread around by the media.
She said she was fired in the Situation Room. The Situation Room is for when there are situations.
Yeah.
The situation is not to remove a troubled employee. I don't know what they were doing in there.
Well, that is unconfirmed by the White House. I will say this. I mean, that's the one thing about Omarosa. She does at some points take. She elaborates the truth, if you will.
She has all the credibility of her former boss.
So it could be possible that this wasn't in the Situation Room. Therefore, the uproar that we've had this morning, including from me, would be moot in the way that, you know, because my big concern is the Situation Room is you can't bring your cell phone in there. It's a lockdown.
There's a box right outside the door where you are supposed to put your phones in. And if you need to be patted down, you're supposed to be patted down by a member of the military.
If a reality show contestant can record the Chief of Staff General of the United States of America, or the President of the United States, what else can be done? That's the big question.
Yeah, and that's why you don't have Russians in the Oval Office with no one else, Donald Trump. But is it possible she had a burner phone? Is it possible she had a phone that she put in the box?
It's possible she wasn't in the situation. I mean, you're going off of Omarosa and her tale, and the same with what she's saying. I mean, there are some spectacular, if not explosive, accusations in the book at the present, mostly around race and race relations and using the N-word and what she thinks of him now. But then it came out after the fact that she didn't actually hear the tape till after the book was done.
Yeah, whoops.
So just, again, Omarosa, not the most credible person, but again, I think this story is more about you chose this person to be in the White House. You chose this person to be a liaison to minority communities in this country. This is the person you chose. This is the fallout from kicking her out.
And here's what it sounds like when General John Kelly fires you. Roll it.
If we make this a friendly departure, we can all be, you know, you can look at your time here in the White House as a year of service to the nation, and then you can go on without any type of difficulty in the future relative to your reputation. But it's very, very important, I think, that you understand that there are some serious legal issues that have been violated, and you're open to some legal action that we hope, I think we can control, right? So with that, if you would stay here with these gentlemen, they'll lay this thing out.
And can I ask you a couple of questions? Is the president aware of what's going on?
Let's not go down the road. This is a non-negotiable discussion.
I don't want to negotiate. I've never had a chance to talk to you, General Kelly. Yeah, so if this is my departure, I'd like to have at least an opportunity to understand.
We can talk another time. This has to do with some pretty serious integrity violations.
And after that, he said, the staff works for me, not the president.
As a radio professional, that is a pretty nice recording. That doesn't sound like a cell phone at the bottom of a purse.
I think that's a lapel mic or something.
You can
something.
Hear the ruffling of it. Yeah, that's weird.
That does not sound like any of the times I was fired.
What were the severe integrity issues? Have we talked about that?
I would hope that the White House, if the White House is going to question her credibility, they should come out with what those serious integrity issues were. Because I don't think it's...
They can hide behind it's a personnel issue. They can. A personnel issue, and I don't have anything to say about it.
I don't necessarily, listening to that tape, do I feel that they were threatening her.
No, I think he was fine.
I think he was fine. I think he was fair. And I think she may be over the line. I think, again, I thought Chuck Todd did a wonderful job on Meet the Press. I know he's on all the time, but objectively saying, really pointing at the fact that, how did you tape this? Have you done this before?
Yep.
He really
got
to the core of that issue. It wasn't just about what she had to say about the president.
We're going to jump to the most valuable person on the planet here in the interest of time, because this individual is very, very busy. Very busy. Very needed. Ladies and gentlemen, celebrating his own anniversary, unfortunately overshadowed by the 40th anniversary of his colleague Tom Skilling. Here's that punk kid Paul Conrad, the most valuable person on the planet. You are the MVPP.
Wow. Thank you. I don't think I've ever won an MVPP before.
I don't think you have. You've been called in similar names, but you've never won an award.
Hey, listen, it is a big deal just to be in the same room as Skilling. My celebration actually was yesterday, and I know you were trying to do a full show yesterday.
Yeah.
And you set aside all this time, and I wasn't available. But listen, I appreciate just the recognition. 22 years.
22 years is tremendous. Now, it's not 40.
No.
And knowing the Tribune Media Company like I do, what does Larry Wirt give you for 22 years of service?
I'm waiting to find out, because, you know, yesterday the post office wasn't delivering. So
I bet it's today.
Sitting at the front door waiting to see what comes. And I'm sure it's going to be exciting.
I don't doubt that you're now the new owner of the WGN
TV station. It's a pretty good possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know anymore.
And do you, or did you at any point, consider changing your anniversary date so it would be farther away, so as not to be swallowed up by Skilling's?
You know what? Had I known, I would have tried to shift it back like 6 months. It's okay. You know, in all honesty, like this morning, they've been running these things where it's Skilling's 40th, and then they'll say, and it's Paul's 22nd, and then they show a clip for me. I'm like, listen, don't waste everybody's time.
Right,
focus on Skilling. The guy's a stud.
Yeah.
Hey, don't even waste
money. Oh, geez, Paul, why don't we celebrate together?
Yeah.
Hey, Paul, of the 22 years you've been there, how long have you been trying to get out?
Probably 20 of them.
20. Yeah, those first two are good, though.
First two were, I knew there was nowhere to go. But, you know, sooner or later, I got to believe I'm going to escape.
You know, there used to be a cafeteria at Channel 9, a fully operational cafeteria.
Yeah.
Now there's a space with tables with about 15 vending machines.
Right.
I've already talked to Paul Rennie, the general manager of both WGN TV and WGN Radio.
Yeah.
Anything you want from the vending machine, pick one, and it's yours today. Happy anniversary.
I've been eyeing that bean burrito
the
last 3 weeks.
You're my little
today
bean burrito.
Today is my day. Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate you even recognizing me.
Yeah, well, you should. Happy anniversary,
all right,
buddy.
All my love.
Oh, yeah. See you later.
Godspeed.
Bye-bye. Okay. That's Paul Conrad.
Skilling.
He's the most valuable person on the planet.
Hey. Tom Skilling coming up later in the show. We'll give him double the time.
Oh, easily.
Because it's double the anniversary.
Well, he's important.
Should you have told him the burrito expired yesterday?
No, listen, those things have so many preservatives in them. 1,000 years after you and I are gone, they're still going to be out.
Burrito will still be there.
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I was texting with Tom this weekend. He actually texted back. Big surprise. He texted back. Oh, gosh. It's so nice he even think of me. He's the best.
He is.
One of the world's great people.
Yeah.
All right, who won our PGA picks from the weekend?
Well, last place.
Yeah, last to first.
Justin Kaufman.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations.
My NASCAR-themed golfers did not do well.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm in fifth place.
Okay.
Mary Vandeveld is in fourth place.
Oh, Vandeveld, that's a real letdown from your winnings in the U.S. Open and British Open.
I know. Did I win?
No, you won.
You won the U.S. Open, didn't you?
You won the U.S. Open, Mary.
Yeah.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And then only beating her by 1 point in third place is Dave Ennett.
Oh.
Dave Ennett, who said
I thought you were the winner.
Looks like I was wrong.
Well, I heard the oldest person
on
the show.
Old guy? Yeah. I just said an older guy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That was unnecessary, though.
The second place, Super Joe.
What's nice up? There's only one name missing so
only
far.
Only one person left who could be the first place
winner.
Who could
that be? Steve Grzanich. All right. Good job, buddy.
Nice going, Steve.
I knew those picks would come in handy.
Here's an older fella.
Did I win?
Steve Cochran, you won.
Yeah!
Nice. Wait a minute. Buddy. I picked the same people you picked. Oh, I did. I picked that other
one off. Patrick Reed.
Oh, he was a loser. Where,
yeah. Who did you pick? Did you pick Kupka?
Who did I pick?
You had Tiger, Molinari, and Fowler.
Oh, yeah.
Dang it.
All top 20.
So you're saying Carl Spackler, Jack Nicholson, and Happy Gilmore did not win?
Did not win.
They did not win.
Did not win, did not place, did not show.
But did anybody pick the Kepka guy? No, but, I mean, that doesn't matter.
From here on out, I will. I watched. He's got some guns.
Yeah, you were disturbing this morning when you talked about how attractive he was.
I was impressed with the physique of a Kepka.
He looks like a linebacker.
His girlfriend had to, she was at a wedding on Saturday night, and she had to fly in early morning on Sunday to get to the round. Jenna.
Oh, how do people do it?
I know. She was able to get there.
Are you listening to the patter? Is that a golf? Is that the golf broadcast patter?
No, this is the thing.
Who flew in tonight?
A lot of people don't know that Sandberg has a scanner at her house for social events.
I do.
So when social events are happening around the city, she picks it up on her scanner, and then she's able to go to those events.
It. And Jenna was in that two-piece. I don't know if you guys noticed.
With the hole in the center there?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it.
No. Yeah. I was thrown off by my guys and what they wore. Bubba Watson didn't make it even to the cut, so that's he's out. He's off. He's
I'll help you with the verbiage. He was cut. He didn't make the cut.
He didn't make the cut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had Tony Finau, who had 10 birdies in round two.
Weirdest front nine ever.
Yeah.
Seven birdies, a triple and a bogey.
Yeah.
A triple and a bogey. No pars.
And then Fowler had a really, really nasty looking peach shirt on. It was peach.
Well, he wears a lot of.
Yeah.
What are you like, the Mr. Oklahoma? You're like the Mr. Blackwell of the PGA Tour.
I had not watched, and now I'm like, no. Why did I pick that guy? No. He's out. He's not my look. He doesn't have the Kaufman look.
Did you think he'd go this route? That he'd be like a fashionista for the PGA Tour?
I told you before Justin got on our show.
Huh.
Yeah,
I said that he was. Weapon. I said he's a little bit of a girly man.
Why did I approve this, do you think?
Girly man.
I did. I said you would represent a middle, not just super guy.
You're totally in touch with your feminine side.
Very, very.
So Tiger kept changing his shirts.
Well, it was super hot.
I know that. But like when you watch a tennis match, you know, Nadal changes his shirts all the time, but he puts the exact same shirt back on.
No, Tiger switched it up.
Yeah.
Every
like,
color in a rainbow.
I was like, we go
he was like the starburst of Nike.
It was very exciting.
I don't like the black pants on him. I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's every Sunday he wears black pants.
I know. I get it. I'm late to the rodeo.
Late to the game. And
I don't like the black pants.
I just wish I owned something in black.
Yeah. Your wife told me that you have too many black shoes, too many black pullovers, too many black polos.
What?
Yep.
Too many. One cannot have too many black or dark blue.
I'm with you on that
stuff.
Anyway, congratulations, Steve. You're in charge of prizes, so whatever you give yourself, that's
well,
great.
Looks like I've won an app gift card. Congratulations
I'm
to me.
Still waiting for mine from the U.S. Open. You forgot you even won, Mayor.
Yes.
Where's my prize?
And you know who won the U.S. Open?
Molinaro, wasn't it?
No, Molinaro. Brooks Koepka.
He did not.
Brooks Koepka won this year and last year. He's won
British.
Three majors.
She was kind of close. British.
Yeah, and Molinari.
Yeah.
Francisco won the British Open.
Oh,
you were close.
Francisco won?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was that souffle guy.
No. Xander Schauffele?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So there you go with the picks. All right, quickly now. You brought up something a moment ago, and we could turn this into like a mini text question.
Sure.
And the mini text question will reveal in just a second. But you brought up something I didn't even think
of. It is now against the law in San Francisco. It's a law on the books that bans workplace cafeterias. We were just talking to Paul Conrad about it.
Yeah.
And because it has to do with places like Twitter and Airbnb, the big companies there, they build these massive complexes or campuses, and then they put workplace cafeterias. They supercharge them. They're the best.
So nobody has to leave.
Therefore, it puts a stranglehold on the local economy. So San Francisco is banning workplace cafeterias.
How can you do that?
I don't know.
What kind of weird law would you have to write for that?
It also makes you wonder about, and you start to think a little bit about, oh yeah, workplace cafeteria. I guess
well,
that's
can
what
they go Channel 9 route, and can they have vending machines, or you can't have any food on campus at all?
I don't know. I don't think. Because, you know, those kind of cafeterias are the ones where they have the one that's like, oh, these are just baked potatoes over here. We've got to walk. We're not talking gray pizza.
So I said to you, I can't think of any place in town in the greater Chicago area that would have some fabulous
you know, in-house workplace restaurant of sorts. And you brought up a couple, which...
Well, the only thing I could think about, in the big towers in Chicago, they'll have food courts.
But those are franchise restaurants, right?
But I would wonder, I have not been on these campuses, but I would think Allstate out in Hoffman Estates. I would think the campuses that we know, Motorola, for instance, some of the campuses in Wisconsin.
Well, we used to have, you know, in the old days at the Tower, going all the way back to June, we had, you know, we had a full-service restaurant at the Tribune Tower for years, which eventually turned into one of those We Trust You Honor cafeterias, where there's cameras everywhere.
Which eventually turned into an empty space.
But just had snacks.
And it was snacks. It wasn't real food.
Yeah.
And then they did this weird lunch thing where you could come by for a new lunch every afternoon, where restaurants would bring food in. Yeah. The only problem with that program was, when you were leaving, you'd walk out on a loading dock, and you'd see, what do you call that? They're not hot plates, but the plates with the little blue things underneath them. You know what I'm talking about?
Steno.
Yeah, those heaters. They're loading them on the loading dock. Yeah. They're setting these giant plates of food on the loading dock before they bring them upstairs. No, thanks.
Yeah, so since I think I'd love to know if you want to text us 312-981-7200.
Yeah, what are you eating at work?
If you do work on one of these campuses where they have a built-in food cafeteria.
What kind of food can you get at work?
What kind of food can you get at work?
312-981-7200 is the number. And we need a break for the headlines. All right, we'll do that now at 720 WGN.
I protected myself because this is a White House where everybody lies. The president lies to the American people. Sarah Huckabee stands in front of the country and lies every single day. You have to have your own back, because otherwise you'll look back and you'll see 17 knives in your back.
Bunch of people telling us what they eat at work. I like this one. I work at Jewel. Enough said. If you work at the grocery store, yeah, you don't have to go out for food. You just hang around the produce aisle, start munching on the lettuce, you little bunny. Hey, John DeCause and I, along with the great Mike Toomey, will be doing stand-up comedy Friday night, August 24th, 8 o'clock, Zanies in St. Charles. Get your tickets. Don't be the last on your block to lock down a couple of seats at 630-524-0001 or zanies.com. 630-524-0001 or zanies.com. That's Toomey and DeCause and me. You'll laugh. You'll point. You'll have a good time. All right, at 7:45, our friend Ryan Nobles from CNN is with us after another wacky weekend. But, Ryan, I want to talk to you about this wild story out of Seattle, because I was watching you anchor when all of this was happening. What do we know this morning? Any updates on how this guy was able to not just steal the plane, but get it started and fly it?
Well, the NTSB is still pretty much at the early stages of their investigation. And what's also interesting about this is that they've decided that the FBI is going to lead the investigation, because it's essentially a criminal matter. And they really have not revealed how he was able to go to the lengths that he was to get that plane not only away from the gate, but then onto the runway and take off. He actually got into a tractor to push the plane off from the gate, to put it in a position where it could then get on the runway to take off. So there's got to be surveillance cameras all over the place that watch this whole thing go down. But essentially, from all the people I talked to this weekend, is that this, to a certain extent, exposed a blind spot when it comes to security at airports. This was a guy that was fully accredited, had the credentials to be back there, with somebody that had worked for this airline for more than 3.5 years, had been apparently playing video games and airline simulations to learn how to fly this plane, was a suicidal, found a way to get on this plane when nobody was looking and took off. The one thing I would really point out about this, Steve, that I think is so alarming, is that this wasn't some tiny municipal airport where all went down. It was one of the most busiest airports in America. So it's one thing for him to be in the air, potentially what he could do if he crashed the plane into a group of people, but the idea that he was able to sneak through and not hit any planes that were taking off or landing. I know it's probably the same in Chicago, but in D.C. there's a plane landing every 30 seconds. So it could have been much, much worse.
Oh, sure, with O'Hare and Midway here. So they obviously had to clear airspace in Seattle so there wouldn't be any commercial problems, as this dope flew around until he nose-dove the plane when it ran out of fuel. But if you listen to the audio tape of him talking to air traffic control and a pilot who was trying to talk him down, the amazing calm of the air traffic controller and the pilot was remarkable. And the guy was fairly oblivious, but also he sounded fairly lucid. There's got to be a missing piece to this story that we don't know that'll come out sooner than later.
No, I totally agree. And listening to that, it doesn't even sound like you're listening to a crisis situation.
Right.
It sounds like two people having a conversation, except at the very end there where he kind of says, I've got a screw loose, which perhaps gives us a little insight into this situation. But, you know, he doesn't necessarily fit the profile for somebody that would do something like this. He was married. You know, a lot of his family members came out this weekend and said that he was a good man. And they are as shocked as anybody that this took place. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered about this situation. And then what does it mean about security at airports going down the road? You know, they provide mental health screenings for pilots, but ground service crew, people like that, they do criminal background checks, drug tests. Mental health evaluations aren't necessarily a part of that. Is it even possible, given the thousands of people that have these jobs, to add that to the security screening protocols?
Yeah. Ryan, this weekend seemed to be one of, that was the overwhelming idea behind these news stories, this idea that this could happen. Omarosa comes to mind with this in the Situation Room and being able to secretly record her firing with Chief of Staff John Kelly. Where are we with this story? I see she's all over Monday morning talk shows, but is there something that is pushing this forward after this huge bombshell that came out this weekend?
Well, Elijah Cummings, who's the ranking member on the Government Oversight Committee in the House, a Democrat, obviously, has said that he believes that Congress needs to investigate the security protocols in the Trump administration, that she could get a phone into the Situation Room. And one of our national security analysts, Sam Vinograd, who worked in the Obama White House, talked about how that was just something you weren't allowed to do, was bring a phone into the Situation Room. Now, I got very different viewpoints as to whether or not what she did was illegal. It's not as if she was in the Situation Room recording sensitive national security information, but there are some tech experts that believe, you know, she as a member of the administration is the type of person who'd be vulnerable to her phone being hacked by a foreign government. And if a phone is hacked by a foreign government and she's got it in the Situation Room, that could potentially mean that they had access to that material. And if she brought it in that time, had she brought it in previous times? But the broader story about all of this is the decision-making behind President Trump to bring someone like Omarosa into his administration. I mean, they all seem so shocked now that this is the course that she took after being fired, you know, and revealing the fact that they tried to get her to sign an NDA and that she was going to be paid $15,000 a month by the campaign to stay quiet. I mean, this is Omarosa's calling card. This is who she's been. This is who she's always going to be. So I'm so surprised that they're surprised that she's betrayed Donald Trump in this fashion.
Yeah, the best way to handle this is to just say it's a personnel matter and we have no further comment. Not, hey, she's a lowlife. Not just coming from the president, but coming from Sarah Huckabee Sanders as well. It's a race to the bottom. More coming up with Ryan Nobles in just a second. Follow him on social media at Ryan Nobles, all over social media. Texters, what are you eating at work? What are they feeding you at work? We know Google's got a free cafeteria.
Yeah, that came out in the text.
You're on the west side.
Yeah, Google does what San Francisco's trying to ban.
So we'll talk about that. We'll read some of those texts back coming up. You know, I've done some fill-in work at CNN in Atlanta. I don't remember us getting fed there. What about in Washington? Does CNN feed you?
You know, the joke, Steve, is that in local news, whenever it was an election night or something like that, we just got stale pizza. But I have to say at the network level, it's a little bit nicer. We don't have a cafeteria in the CNN bureau, but anytime there's a big news story, election night, a debate night, something like that, they usually have some really cool D.C. restaurant cater a big, nice spread. So I've not got no complaints about how I'm fed at CNN.
Okay,
that's how it's supposed to be.
But is there a caste system? Is there a level, like this Blitzer get the best food, Blitzer then Tapper? And where's Ryan on this list?
Right.
No, they sent out an email, and usually it's just first come, first serve. And I found, and this is true, that generally the interns seem to know before anybody else if the food is ready.
So the interns and the engineers.
Yeah, Wolf is about way back in the line behind a bunch of interns, but that's all right. He doesn't mind.
No, of course not. He's Wolf. All right, so Rudy Giuliani apparently, because he would not lie, apparently forgot what he said. He said, as recently as 2 weeks ago, and it does stick to tape, that Donald Trump and James Comey had a conversation about going easy on Michael Flynn. Then this weekend, apparently there was a meeting in the Oval Office where they said, well, let's see how dumb the public is. Let's see if they buy that we never said anything. What's he trying to do here?
I think he's trying to dig himself out of a hole, and I don't think it's necessarily working. I think it's really baffling how inconsistent Rudy Giuliani's comments have been on any number of things, but this is the most glaring. I mean, he clearly said in an interview with George Stephanopoulos a couple of months ago that, yeah, of course he did, you know, but there's something wrong with that. He talked to James Comey, and he said, let's give Flynn a break. That's what you do in situations like this. And now he's trying to use legalese to talk himself out of this, saying that he was trying to argue in the alternative, I think is what he called it, and that we should just believe him, that he really didn't mean to say that. Michael Zeldin, who's a former chief counsel for Robert Mueller when he was at the FBI, was on with me this weekend, and he said that, you know, it's one thing for Rudy Giuliani to damage the credibility of the legal team by his misstatements, but he's actually creating a legal exposure for President Trump here. The more he talks, the more it's going to create suspicion by the Mueller team. It's going to make it more difficult for them to believe anything that comes out of that legal team's mouth, and then what comes out of President Trump's mouth, and it's just going to continue to further the investigation. So if Giuliani thinks he's helping, I know he thinks he's trying to win in the court of public opinion, he's actually making the situation a lot worse.
Last thing, this weekend in Charlottesville, the one-year anniversary of that horrible white supremacist rally where an innocent woman was killed, the knuckleheads from Antifa made things worse. But the story that really jumped out was that there were 20 racists that showed up. Couldn't they send out for extra racists?
It all happened in Washington, D.C. this weekend. It was remarkable.
Oh, that was the Washington piece. You're right. I apologize. Yes.
Yeah, right. No problem. But, I mean, given the attention that they got a year ago, given the volume of people that showed up a year ago versus what we saw this time, and D.C. law enforcement was just top-notch, making sure that there was no negative interactions between these two groups. I mean, it really was laughable. And then to hear their rhetoric where they claim that they weren't racist, but they just want to, you know, they think that a white minority nation is bad for the United States. I mean, it was all the same hate and that they were spewing a year ago. Their voice was just minimized by the thousands of protesters who came out on the other side. And to your point, Steve, there was, you know, some negative interaction from folks like Antifa. But by and large, everything this weekend was peaceful. We got through it okay. And hopefully this begins the conversation headed in a more positive direction.
Ryan Nobles, at Ryan Nobles. Just spell Ryan Nobles the way Ryan Nobles would spell it. R-I-N-N-O-B-L-E-S. And you'll find him online on social media. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
8 o'clock, Dean coming up. Lots to talk about with Dean, including he was at Ravinia last night with Steve Martin and Martin Short. We'll talk to him in a second on more on entertainment. But first this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, in the morning, Tim. You know I love you more than when I shimmy. It's not just warm. Yeah, honey, well, kiss me good.
Happy anniversary, Dean. Everybody at Channel 9, it's their anniversary.
Well, only because I'm so often mistaken for Tom Skilling, so I'm taking the credit for his 40 years here at WGN-TV. In fact, I was at the Bud Billiken Parade on Saturday, and Tom was not on the float. He was at a climate change conference, or so he says.
Mm-hmm.
But people were congratulating me.
Dean/Tom, congratulations!
Yeah, exactly. So, thank you for those. Thanks for the well wishes.
Oh, geez, he's going to be on at 9:40 this morning.
By the way, lovely.
And Conrad was on last hour. You know, it's 22 years. I told Conrad, I said, why don't you move it a week so you get something?
Yeah, he's you know, this is like when Farrah Fawcett died the same day that Michael Jackson did.
Yeah, tough timing.
You get no coverage.
Or your birthday on Christmas.
On Christmas, exactly. Right.
How great was Martin Short and Steve Martin?
Oh, my God. They were so funny. Were you there?
No, but I've seen them twice in town. It's not a Chicago theater.
Yeah, I've seen them perform individually. This is the first time that I've seen them. this particular show, the show that they are calling the show that you will always forget, together. And it's great. I mean, they've been friends for 35 years. They're, you know, insulting each other all night long. You know, good-natured
there's a if you get a chance to see it wherever you're listening around the country, there is a bit where Martin Short comes out in a bodysuit.
Yeah.
And in the bodysuit, he has an appendage that is rather dramatic. Yeah. And after he finishes with his dramatic appendage moment, Steve Martin comes on with his band. But as he walks off, he looks at Steve Martin. He goes, "Follow that, mother effer."
Yeah. The show's on Netflix.
Which you just don't expect.
Yeah. Miles and I watched it. It's great.
Yeah, the show is nominated for 4 Emmy Awards, and it's
they're great together.
It's currently streaming on Netflix, and it's fantastic. So take a look at it. They do a lot of their old characters, just enough. You know, it's not like rehashing it, but you get Steve Martin doing a little bit of Wild and Crazy Guy, and excuse me, and,
right.
You know, like, say, signature things and things from his movies and classic Martin Short things in it. It was just
it's really well put together.
Beautiful, beautiful night at Rubina as well. And if you want to see one of the most awkward pictures of all time, we were invited backstage to say hello, and we got a picture with Steve Martin backstage, and he looks like, who is this dope standing next to me?
Because all my years in show business, and now I got to take a picture with Dean.
Right. Wasn't it humiliating enough that I used to have to put an arrow through my head? Now I have to stand next to this guy?
Is this the guy from Moron Entertainment? I'm not taking a picture. Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. When we come back, much to discuss from the show business world, including a rumor this morning about Aretha Franklin, which we hope is just a rumor. Lindsay Lohan, Teen Choice Awards, Back to the Future, James Bond.
You were at the Teen Choice Awards, weren't you?
I got another one this year. Yeah.
Best lip lock. She won best lip lock.
And Lorne Michaels was in town this weekend. Oh, by the way, there was a big disc jockey convention in town, in case you own a store and there was shoplifting last week. And they were all right over here at the Sheraton, as I point to my right.
A disc jockey convention?
Yeah, it's called Morning Show Boot Camp.
Oh, I've been to that.
It's now in its 30th year.
Yeah, I went to one of the first ones. They used to have them up in Minneapolis.
Yeah, and a couple of friends of mine forever were in town, so I had lunch with them on Friday. And I said, what's the most ridiculous named morning show you've met since you came in? Because they're all ridiculous. And it was Buckethead and Joe. What a proud business this is.
Do they know about Moron Entertainment?
Buckethead and Joe in the morning. There was a guy who, he can't hide anymore. So let's say you wanted to slip into town unnoticed in case you knew a prominent individual in town and you didn't want to see. So a guy used to be my partner on the radio. It's the only time ever that I actually had a co-billed show. A guy named Rick Rumble. Very funny dude. And he's been in Norfolk for years. And he's a good dude. We used to hang out together and all that. Very funny guy. So somebody said, well, what'd you do with Rumble? I said, I didn't know he was in town. So here's my question. Do I reach out to him and give him a hard time for not contacting me?
Yes.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I haven't made an effort either.
Are you a crazy ex-girlfriend?
No, not at all.
Then don't reach out.
No.
That's a...
But it would be fun to give him a hard time and make him feel guilty.
Yeah, but it's your town. He should reach out to you.
Is that the rule?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the rule, but you're passive. He already messed that up, so what are you going to do? You're going to be passive aggressive?
It could be the bigger guy.
I think you go after him. I think you just get rid of passive, go aggressive.
So, but I don't make an effort to stay in touch with him.
Yeah, just say, I heard you were in Chicago. So name one of the someone that might be friends with you, but maybe
adversarial
to him. Buckethead.
Can you count? Yeah, maybe Buckethead could be the in-between on this.
Buckethead said you were in town.
But if you, Dean, don't you agree? If you're not in touch with people, not everyone is meant to stay in touch for all time. Like
is where you live. I think the proper thing would have been for him to call you.
Yeah, there is a guy thing, and here's the guy thing. I don't need to talk to you for 30 years.
Right.
But if I'm in your town, I should call you and just say, "Hey, I'm in your town."
Hey, just wanted to
be a Facebook message.
I bet he did the classic. I lost your number, Steve.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I do with me. Yeah, I would definitely do that with me.
See,
make it out of it.
Girls would want something from that. They would ask, but they would want something from that meeting, I think. Women.
Like,
that's
You know what I'm saying? Guys would do it just to get together. Girls would say they have an ulterior motive.
Well, I agree with you. But
to see if they're fat or something.
Network. No, yeah. Networking. A networking.
Or if they're fat.
Well, that too. No, then they wouldn't want to meet at all.
But in all likelihood, he was busy. Yeah. He may have just flown in for a day. All of that.
It is morning boot camp. He's got stuff to do.
Now, here's the thing. As I was thinking this, I mean, this is what a hypocrite I am. As I'm thinking this, I'm sitting at lunch with my friends from New York. And as I'm sitting at lunch with my friends from New York, I realized I can't tell them I just spent 5 days in New York and I never called them.
There it is. I love it.
So I figured out why Rumble didn't call me. Yeah. I'm a creep.
Were you Cochran and Rumble? Was that the team?
I don't remember what we called it.
Steve was going by the name of Buckethead.
That's the one I like. I like to be referred to as Buckethead.
Buckethead Cochran.
Sponsored by brand new. Well, you know, on Friday, they gave us some Bozo buckets to give away.
Yes.
And the number 6 bucket fit my head.
Oh, yeah, right. You were Buckethead for a second.
So I was literally Buckethead on Friday before I knew there was a Buckethead.
It was Bozo even too Buckethead. Big.
It was a little bigger.
Yeah, it went all the way down.
That's one big bucket.
I think I'm more of a. I think when it comes to Bozo buckets, my head's more of a 5. So, sponsored by Brandy Smile Dental Implant Center. We'll come back and talk about the stories we just talked about. We'll be calling his name. And now more morons. Moron Entertainment, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Dean, we have breaking Omarosa news. Justin, there's another tape.
Yeah, she released another tape, this one with the president. Steve Grzanich just mentioned it in the tease for what's coming up at 8:30. But essentially, the day after she was terminated, she recorded the president, and it sounds like it was a phone call, who said that he was unaware that this was happening.
And he was shocked.
He was shocked.
He was shocked she was gone. And my favorite line is, I don't love that you're gone.
I don't love that you're leaving at all.
This is such good cop, bad cop. Dean, you know what this is? This is, Omarosa's crazy, and I don't want to be the one to fire her. Of course he knew.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to hear his tone, but this points to what is a bigger issue, whether or not the White House is operating without the president's knowledge.
Okay, but
he does say it's a big operation. I just didn't know.
But let me ask you a question, and let me start with you, Dean. If you had a choice of dealing with a crazy male or a crazy female, which one are you going to choose? I'm going with crazy male every single time because crazy female frightens me. And Omarosa is frightening. I don't mean frightening, like physically frightening. It's just like you don't want to be in a room with
him. Well, the president of the United States obviously has an affinity for what Omarosa brings because he brought her into the Trump organization and then he brought her to the White House. So I think there is something there that the president sees. And
he said it before. He likes people that he likes on TV. He literally has said that. And she was on TV a lot. How many reality shows did she do for him? 3 or 4?
I think she was on a couple of seasons of, was it the Celebrity Apprentice, wasn't it?
She did Celebrity after she did the original run, or Bill Rancic won the first year. She was on that run. So,
who would have thought bizarre behavior from reality show?
It's crazy.
People.
All right, what's going on with Aretha Franklin?
Unbelievable. As you said, hopefully this is just nothing more than one of those internet hoaxes, but it's sure seeming like it's true that Aretha Franklin is said to be gravely ill. Family and friends surrounding her at a Detroit hospital. It's been all over the internet this morning, but a couple of news anchors, one in Detroit, one in Philadelphia, both claiming that they are very close friends with the Franklin family, said that they have spoken to them, and they are saying that it's true, asking for prayers, asking for privacy. Sure. So really, that's all that we know right now. We do know that Aretha Franklin has been rumored to have been living with cancer for quite some time. It's been almost 10 years since the first reports of pancreatic cancer came out, but she's continued to perform. She performed just a couple of months ago at the Elton John AIDS Foundation gala, as she famously performed at the Kennedy Center that honored Carole King, in which she sang the Carole King song, which is also her own hit song, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, which was one of the most amazing versions of a song I've ever heard in my life. But
we just hope for the best.
That's what we know right now. She's 76 years old. We're keeping an eye on the story. We're trying to get
More on this, yet also respect her privacy at the same
time. I'm telling you right now, you want to hear a great version of You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman? Dave Ennett's version.
Yeah,
which has only been released at one time, and if you have a bootleg copy of that, it is something else.
I'll tell you, if Aretha passes, we need the whole country needs a week off. She was such a tremendous talent.
She is. To be, don't you say was yet.
Sorry.
Back to the Future reunion, where was that?
It took place on the East Coast. They had like these little comic book sort of conventions go on. And Michael J. Fox was there, and Christopher Lloyd was there, and also Leah Thompson and Thomas Wilson, who played Biff in the movie. They were all there. So, of course, the conversation went to, will they do a remake? Will they do another version of Back to the Future? And the director, Robert Zemeckis, says zero interest in rebooting the franchise. Said they can do whatever they want after he's dead.
That kind of ends that conversation.
So mark that down. Mark that down.
Other than me, who won a Teen Choice Award?
Oh, the TV show Riverdale.
Mm.
Won about 8 awards. Have you ever seen that show?
Mm-mm. Not one time.
Not me either.
Bennett, our producer here, watches it, and so does my stepdaughter.
Is this the Archie thing?
Yeah. Mm. And Dean, one of the categories is my favorite category. I'm sure you'll agree from that. That the Riverdale won a choice hissy fit.
Yeah, best Riverdale also won. They won best hissy fit, best lip lock, best TV villain. They also won for best drama and best actor and actress for Cole Sprouse and Lily Reinhart. I'm sure that Bennett is super excited about both of those picks. Scarlett Johansson and Robert Downey Jr. won best action actor and actress, and Avengers Infinity War won best action movie.
60 Minutes won nothing again at the Teen Choice Awards. Nothing. Not one award. I'm as shocked
year.
As you are.
Scandal. It's a tough year. It's a tough year.
Why is Lindsay Lohan apologizing? What did she do?
She's apologizing. She made some comments over the weekend about the Me Too movement, kind of victimizing women, saying that the Me Too movement is making women look weak. And is encouraging she was encouraging people to not go that direction so they don't look like victims. And then apparently later on realized what a ridiculous thing that was to say. So she says that she is, quote, unreservedly apologizing for any hurt that she may have caused by her comments.
Yeah,
I heard from a Lindsay Lohan in a long time.
Not a long time. I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion, just some things you shouldn't have an opinion on publicly.
Doesn't she have her own show coming up or something?
Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an apology show. She just goes on and apologizes for everything.
She's got some reality thing or something coming up.
I don't know. The next James Bond, I thought we knew who this was. Is it Screech from Saved by the Bell?
It is not. He was going to get the job, but apparently now Daniel Craig is going to do one more James Bond movie. And then after that, he said he's calling it quits, although he's said that about 10 times already. But Idris Elba.
Oh, I love him.
Over the weekend.
He's great.
He tweets out just a photo of himself, of his face, and with the caption, "My name is Elba. Idris Elba."
That's funny.
So that's funny. Whether or not that means that he's interested, testing the water. At one time, he said that being the first black James Bond would be the wildest rumor that he has ever heard in his life.
You know, Alex Trebek leaving Jeopardy. Is that a possibility that maybe he's sliding over to be the next Bond?
Idris Elba? Being on Jeopardy?
Being Alex host, Trebek. Yeah. Alex Trebek be the new James Bond. Huh?
Amorosa being the new James Bond? What?
Lauren Michaels.
Get started. What?
Lauren Michaels was in for a big Saturday Night Live Fest situation. And
hey, you should do a show from there.
Really should. And looking at talent, he wanted to see the Saturday Night Live exhibit and all that. So what do we know?
He kept such a ridiculously low profile.
Yeah.
He showed up. He stayed in the back of the room. Justin was there.
Yeah, I was there.
Justin saw.
No, he absolutely. He did very low profile. Walked in, surrounded himself with people, and then quickly left. So I don't know.
I would have been
awkward.
That's
what you do, but maybe that's what you do.
He has so much power it would have been awkward if you went up to him and go, "You have any interest in changing my life tonight?" I mean, you know, that's going to come off completely wrong.
He didn't work the room, let's put it that way.
Oh, he didn't even go on stage. I mean, this was a benefit for the museum.
What time
featuring,
is this over?
Featuring Lorne Michaels. He didn't go on stage. He didn't wave. He literally stayed in the back of the room the whole night. But when he walked in, we did catch him with our cameras, and we talked to him about the influence of Saturday Night Live. I mean, the exhibit's cool and everything, but think about for these 43 years that show has been on the air and how it dictated the music that we listen to and how we talk and how we dress and kind of the state of comedy and, you know, politically where it is now. This is what he said to me about the influence of SNL on America.
I think there was just a moment, I think, in the fourth season when I was at a steakhouse that I didn't normally go to. I was with somebody, I don't remember, but there were people in the next booth, and they were doing Mr. Bill. And I thought, well, they're the least likely people to be doing Mr. Bill. And I thought, oh, so the people watching who are not the people I think are watching. And that sort of, and now people just grow up on it. And I was in Europe a couple weeks ago, and people over there know it from YouTube, you know, particularly the political stuff. And you go, it's just out there.
So two things with that. Number one, could it be more distracting how much he sounds like Dr. Evil?
He does sound like Dr. Evil.
Which, yeah. Mike Myers patterned the
Yeah, Mike Dr. Myers Evil readily admits him. That's the voice.
That's the voice that he was mocking his boss. And number two, how often do you get a Mr. Bill reference anymore?
No kidding.
And remember when everybody was doing Mr. Right. Bill.
Oh, no. And then squished. All right, buddy.
See you tomorrow.
See you later. That's Dean Richards, and your headlines next on 720 WGN. Listen to this, John. Listen to this.
For Super Joe's White Sox trivia question.
And just when you think it's over, you know, you think it's time for Super Joe to ask the question. Announcer guy can blow it in.
Answer Super Joe's White Sox trivia question correctly, and you can win White Sox tickets.
Super Joe doesn't talk a lot, but when he does, it's good stuff.
Yes.
All right, Super Joe, what's today's question for tickets? And John, can John win?
No. I listened to last night's game.
All right, so what's the question today?
Well, they got a series with the Detroit Tigers coming up, so this one is Tiger-themed. After making four All-Star games while playing for the White Sox, which Venezuelan outfielder signed with the Detroit Tigers prior to the 2005 season?
Joe Creedy.
And
Nicolas Maduro.
And has the best chant going in baseball.
He does.
Is it Venezuelan president Nicolas Maduro?
It is not.
Oh. All right, first correct answer, 312-981-7200. By the way,
the Sox need more of that chance.
Other than the series with the Tigers, do the White Sox only play the Kansas City Royals?
Yeah, from here.
Because it's the White Sox and the Royals, and it's good because the Royals suck. This coming Sunday, August 19th, four tickets for you. And Super Joe's question every Monday morning.
I don't want to get down on the White Sox, but we talked with Stoney on the Friday before about they had, what, seven games with the Yankees and the Indians. They're going to prove themselves, see where they're at in this rebuild.
They did.
They got swept.
Yeah, well,
they won. They won the other night on a walk-off home run.
Oh, they won on
Daniel Palkin.
Yeah, right.
Well, they showed where they are.
Is that the 1-0 game? Is that the one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now they play seven of the next 13 at Detroit.
Wow. We got a Dennis. Good morning, Dennis.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your answer to the question?
Maglio Ordóñez.
Yeah,
that's right. Super Joe, is that right?
That is right.
Maglio.
Congratulations, pal. You got four tickets for Kansas City and the White Sox on Sunday. Have a great time.
Thank you very much.
All right, man. I appreciate you listening. John Williams is here. John, a question came up earlier. What do you eat at work?
What do I eat at work?
Yeah, what does a company do for you? You and I both worked at the Tribune Company at a time where we had a full-blown cafeteria at the Tribune.
They did have a nice little thing there.
And then eventually it turned into vending machines and a trust cafeteria.
That's correct.
For snacks.
Right.
Like if you needed a cheese stick. You could run over there.
A beef jerky.
Right, yes. Right. Here are some of the places, and the reason this came up is because in San Francisco, much of this has been outlawed to protect local restaurants because people are staying at their place of business to eat.
Yeah.
815, Google has a huge cafeteria in their Chicago office on one of the floors, and I've seen it for free.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
You've been in the building?
I have. We did a little tour over there.
And it's free. That's the
And it's not just like a guy cooking sandwiches. They have an area where there's a guy that'll make a roll for you, or you know.
This is what they're outlawing, and this is what they're banning in San Francisco.
You would not go out if you were you were crazy.
Were you welcome there, or did you just go in, you know, without an invite?
I was looking for a job.
I want to know what a roll and a wrap up are.
Well, it's what's the thing where they put some fish and rice? It's an Asian
sushi.
Sushi. They have a guy that does sushi. I'm not a fan of that stuff.
Did you actually need the help on sushi?
I knew I would get there. But it was a lot easier.
Roll and a wrap up.
630 Fermilab.
You know what I meant when I said a roll and a wrap up?
630 Fermilab has a great cafeteria. Well, you would hope. I mean, all those people are radioactive. They can't be wandering around.
They don't need a microwave. They just put it on their desk, walk away, it's ready.
Some of the suburban hospitals have great cafeterias. I can vouch for that. I've seen the doctor's cafeteria at Central DuPage Hospital. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Elmhurst Hospital, super good.
There's a guy named Serge that stands there and invites you in if you know him. You have to tip him, and why wouldn't you? 630, I work at lots of different big work campuses. They all have kitchens. 630 Kemper Lakes, full-service cafeteria. 815, we have a microwave, but my company supplies ramen soup. Ooh. Like ramen noodles, I would guess.
That's
right?
A perk.
And also, thanks for the tickets to Sunday's game. It was awesome. Thank you for that. 312, First National Bank of Chicago. Remember that? Remember First National Bank of Chicago?
Didn't it become First Chicago, which became...
Are they Fifth Third now?
I think now it's...
Affiliated United Consolidated.
I want to say it's Chase. I think Chase gobbled it up at some point.
First National Bank of Chicago had an in-house restaurant with great food at reasonable prices. It was open to the public. Did anybody remember that?
No.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the bank and eat, guys.
But those are pay. Those are most of what is being mentioned. They're all you pay for that cafeteria.
Do you remember the big controversy here? Because the company here, the radio station, supplies free coffee. Mm-hmm. And some people don't drink coffee. They drink soda. They said, why don't we stock the fridge with free sodas? Why do we subsidize coffee drinkers, but we don't give the caffeine hit to soda drinkers? And that was a raging controversy for a short while.
I don't remember. The only raging controversy I remember is Spike Odell wanted to wear jeans in the morning.
He put his foot down.
Yeah.
That's like the controversy.
Raging controversy
over,
seems strong.
People who smoke get the break, but the people who don't smoke don't get a break.
I'm thinking about taking up smoking just because I want to.
That always bugs me.
They all seem to be having a good time out there.
I wonder how many people listening are going, John, are you on 2 hours? Do you really need a break? 630, we used to have an honor candy bar with snacks, but the owner's wife never paid, so now nothing.
Oh, just so you know, Pete Hassan has just invited all of us over to the UC for lunch at the UC Cafe.
Do they have a cafeteria?
Apparently, so.
I thought they just had one of the stands opened up, and you could stand in line and get anything you wanted. They got a great chef there. I know that.
Yeah.
All right. John's got a show coming up, and we're going to tell you about it and incessantly plug it, and you'll buy tickets.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. It's good to be
king. I'll take this. I figured you were going to open up with some sort of snide remark about velvet. Millard Fillmore.
No, that's coming. Why rush it?
I got ahead of myself, didn't I?
John Williams here. What's the next show?
We're going to do it Saturday at the College of DuPage. I'll be on stage with Thomas Jefferson, third president. We've been doing this for almost 20 years. I think this is the 19th year we've been inviting President Jefferson to Chicago. He walks on stage with
me.
I talked to him a little bit.
For years, I have grinded you on this.
You have.
On stage, off stage, on air, off air. Let me just say something.
Yeah.
This guy is amazing.
He is.
He's amazing. I've only seen him once, but he is incredible.
And every show's different. Every show's different.
And he knows every single bit of information about Thomas Jefferson.
I say that Jefferson wrote like 26,000 letters, but he didn't memorize them.
This guy did.
My guy did.
This guy, wow.
Yeah, he's incredible. And that's the coolest part of the questions and answers.
Yeah. And so while I'll talk to him a little bit on stage about current events, about history, you know, what was it like to write the Declaration of Independence? What do you think of our immigration policy? But then the audience asks questions, and that's really the best part.
Will he have a hot take on secret recordings in the Situation Room?
It's funny when you do ask him about
Current events,
because he really didn't have a tape recorder back then. But he'll say something about privacy,
right,
or about the intelligence of people who say things.
He ties in excerpts from the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution.
But you could still have secret recordings. You just have a stenographer hiding behind the curtain. You know, it's just a different style.
There's some shoes at the bottom of the drapes.
A guy writing. A guy writing on parchment paper.
Right. Did you get all that?
Right.
But you know what he'll do, though? And so that'll come up, right? Maybe I'll ask him that question.
Did you have an Omarosa?
But he... that's actually a separate story.
Yeah, yeah.
He did. And people will ask him that, and he'll get ticked. But here's what he says, that the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, were written 230 years ago. You guys are crazy for trying to cram modern world into those words. So if it gets complicated, like if we say, what does the Second Amendment mean? Or do I have a right to privacy? He said, you know, you're asking somebody who died in 1800 something. So how would we be able to help you guys today? You got to start with a new constitution or think more independently than relying on that.
Do you agree with that? Because there are originalists, and then there are those who believe that the Constitution should be updated.
I think it should be updated. I mean, are a lot of things in there good? Yeah, but could we be clearer about the Second Amendment? I think Absolutely. We could do that, too.
How about this? Supreme Court justice is not for life.
Yeah, he's all over that.
Not for life.
He does not like term limits. He would like term limits for Supreme Court justice. Right. He doesn't like the Electoral College, for crying out loud.
I don't either.
No.
I really don't like it now.
But Jefferson got a lot in common.
Yeah.
But he's a Republican by our standards today. Small government. He is for gun rights. You know, he's going to let you own your gun. That's for sure. He's very conservative fiscally. So, you know,
But when a question comes up, because this guy knows everything about Jefferson, the question comes up about, say, the right to own an assault rifle.
Yeah.
Does he address that?
He sure does.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Get your tickets to see John Williams in conversation with the third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson. Shows is Saturday, August 18th. The 10 and 1. Are tickets available for both?
Probably just the 1, but, you know, beg and borrow if you can want to go to the 10. We have a 10 o'clock show, a 1 o'clock show, and...
At the Mac, which is a great theater.
It's a great venue. You're in and you're out. It's easy to park. It's easy to get to. And the other thing is, you will laugh at this show. It is very humorous, but it's true. Jefferson wasn't funny. My guy's a little funnier than Jefferson was.
You know, for you as a broadcaster and an interviewer, is it hard to stay in character, to wrap your head around the fact that you're interviewing Thomas Jefferson?
You know what's hard for me with this guy? Is to talk to him like not Jefferson. Because I've talked to him more as Jefferson than I have as not Jefferson.
There you go.
So he and I'll be at lunch afterwards. He's wearing leotards. And I'll go, so when you guys... He goes, John, I'm not Jefferson.
Now, he does another historical character.
Yeah, he does Teddy Roosevelt.
And he's got just as much on Roosevelt.
I know. And that's, and two more different presidents you do not have.
Yeah.
He also does Robert Oppenheimer, you know, the father of the atomic bomb.
That's the one where I go, seriously, dude?
I know. He's always begging me. He goes, come on, let's do Oppenheimer. I go, no, we're not going to do Oppenheimer.
Unless you're doing like an in-house show at Fermilab.
Yeah.
That would be good.
When you're negotiating with him, is it in character about which president is going to be here, or if it's Oppenheimer?
Will Citizen. Oh, I thought you meant financially. Like, what are the terms?
You should pay him like in 1776.
Can you please put Teddy on the line?
We gave him Indian beads for the last show. He was really ticked.
And a pelt. Two ways to get tickets. Buy them online at WGNRadio.com/events. Or call the Mac at 630-942-4000 Tuesdays through Sundays, noon to 6. Sponsored by American Sale, the best selection for your backyard summer fun. And not once during this entire segment did I give you a hard time.
No. When I leave, I know he's going to light me up, man. But that's all right.
That's not true. It's not true. I'm a fan. What are you doing on your own show today?
I'm not exactly sure if I should do the Omarosa stuff or not. I know my producer's going to go, let's not go there. Oh, come on. This is ridiculous.
Why should you be the one that doesn't?
But then I heard you guys doing the Omarosa stuff, so I thought, well, there's still some tread on that tire. Maybe I'll do it.
She is the first insider to come out and allegedly tell the truth.
I'm just worried that if it's supposed to be the super secure room...
I know, it's insane.
Whatever the motive is, why would she be able to do that? I want to talk about what happened at SeaTac 2, and is it possible that other people could duplicate what that guy did?
Yeah,
we'll have somebody
amazing
on about that.
David Curley from ABC, their aviation reporter, is going to be on tomorrow to try to explain that to us as well.
Yeah.
We do have tape, if you want me to share it with you, of me being fired here in 2010. But since it was
hey,
in the
Steve,
bathroom...
Can you come on in the office here, buddy?
Since I was
standing in the bathroom, the echo is really bad, so it's kind of hard to hear.
I think that I witnessed that firing, and I'm not sure that
you were passing through.
I walked out as they were walking in. It was in front of the men's room. I don't know if they called you into the men's room, just for the record.
No, I was in the men's room.
You think
and they waited
held,
for me outside
right,
the
that's
door?
That's right.
Yeah.
They just held the door open.
Yeah. I said, hey, do you want me to wash my hands?
It's a very funny tweet from you over the weekend about that.
Thank you. I do believe that. If you had all of my firings,
you would have to have a tape.
No, you'd have to have a box set, full albums, 7-8 albums. Thank you, John. See you this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Steve Cochran Show, celebrating the most valuable person on the planet, weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago. Wave to our friends at CLTV.
Hi, CLTV.
Watching right now.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It is one of the events to be at if you love theater. Tonight, the Chicago Summer Concert Series continues with a free Broadway in Chicago Summer Concert. You're going to get preview performances of A Bronx Tale. There's Anastasia, The Book of Mormon, Cats, Come From Away, Dear Evan Hansen, which didn't Dear Evan Hansen win about 57 Tonys this year?
Last year, too.
Well, that was the last year? Yeah. And Falsettos, Fiddler on the Roof, Heartbreak Hotel, Hello Dolly, Miss Saigon, and Roald Dahl's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Here, from the about-to-debut Tootsie, it's our brand new best friend, Santino Fontana. Good morning, Santino.
Good morning. How are you?
Are you excited to be here?
I'm thrilled to be here.
It's a big break for you, Santino.
I'm excited to be awake.
I want you to mess this up now.
I don't want to either.
How long have you been in theater?
Theater? Oh, God.
Forever.
Yeah, kind of.
First role.
Oh, I was a turkey in Thanksgiving play. And
how'd you do?
I was all right. Yes, he still died at the end. But
oh,
that,
tough break.
It was tragic.
How old were you then?
I was in preschool.
Did you put the show on yourself? Were you the producer?
I did. It was one of those.
Mover and shaker?
Kind of, in a plastic bag that I forced my sister to, you know, staple paper onto. Yeah.
Did you cast it yourself as well?
That's unclear. I think there might have been multiple people. I don't really remember.
Does video of this exist?
Not for you. Actually, I don't know. I don't know if there is video.
I bet it's adorable.
Maybe.
I can picture your mom or your dad or somebody out there shooting that.
I don't know. I'm glad they're not listening.
All right. And your last role prior to Tootsie?
Funnily enough, I just did the 2 months. I jumped into Hello Dolly recently. A friend was injured, and so I jumped in on Broadway with Bernadette Peters and
yeah, me too.
Garber.
Well, yeah. How do you jump into a show like that?
I had 10 days of rehearsal.
Okay.
I got a call saying, we need you to do a solid.
What was your role?
Cornelius Hackle. It's a great part.
Oh, was that your first Hello Dolly, or have you done it in the past?
I'd never done it before. I never.
Not even in preschool?
Before. No Hello Dolly in preschool.
But don't you have a solo? Am I remembering the show?
Many solos. He has like the best songs.
Yeah.
Out there. Da 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 da.
Oh, that is.
They're singing that tonight for free at 6:15.
Uh-huh. There's the plug.
Millennium Park. There's
the
right
plug.
Here.
Did you see that?
And is 10 days enough to learn that show?
It was. I mean, I didn't have a choice.
Right, but what I'm saying is, are you exceptionally nervous with 10 days, or is that a fair run-up?
You don't feel good, but you do, you know what I mean? You don't feel like, I got it. You feel like, what am I doing? Who thought this was okay? I don't have a choice.
Hardest thing you've ever done, or not so much?
No, not the hardest thing. But
what's the toughest role you've ever had to do?
I played Hamlet at the Guthrie.
Yeah, me too.
That's...
Yeah, me too.
You don't... Yeah, no.
I really
okay. It would be weird if you did, to be honest.
Wouldn't that be funny?
It would be very strange. Like, what happened?
Don't you remember? You followed me.
Because you got injured, Steve, and then...
Right. I pulled a vocal cord. Do you love Shakespeare?
I do.
I've never met an actor that goes, Shakespeare sucks.
No,
I can't believe they're asking me to do it.
I have.
Yeah, but have, right. Privately.
Yeah, well, or we all talk about them until they leave.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, but you do love Shakespeare.
I do. Yeah, we owe him a lot, whether it's one guy or not or whatever that is. But
that's a whole weird thing, too, right? Shakespeare could have been a whole group of people that wrote.
Yeah, and who cares?
Yeah.
Just read the
plays. Just call him Bill and say thank you.
The plays are good.
Yeah.
The plays.
No, he had a nice run.
He did.
for you to be in Hello Dolly and to be in such an established musical and to just have the contrast to being in Tootsie, which mm-hmm. is a highly anticipated new Broadway musical, which is doing its pre-tryout here in Chicago.
Yep.
Is there one or other that you prefer, the idea of going with something more standard or being a part of something new?
I like all of it. I mean, I think that's the reason I always joke that the reason I became an actor is because I'm constantly avoiding an identity and a pattern. So the reason I like, you know, pretending to be different people in different situations, you get to live in different worlds. So to be in, you know, early 1900s New York and Hello Dolly is exciting in the same way that Tootsie, which we're updating to today, it's thrilling to play somebody in a modern day story that is, you know, desperate to get a job. And the great thing about doing a new thing like that, like this, we're in rehearsals now. Everything's changing every day. So what if this
including
happened?
Your wardrobe?
Right.
Oh, constantly. Constantly.
Now, Tootsie was so smartly written, you can work topical stuff in. Are they doing it?
Yes, absolutely. That's yeah, cool. Robert Horn, the book writer, who's fantastic, has brought it up to today, and we're dealing with it as it would be dealt with. And David Yazbek wrote the score, who just won a Tony for Band's Visit.
Yeah, right.
So you said that's why you became an actor, to do the different types, but sometimes that's out of your control. Sometimes you get typecasted.
Oh, it's all out of my control.
right.
All out of my control. However, you can fight. Every great actor, I think, or everyone who aspires to be a great actor, wants to fight typecast and being put in a box if they can, and they do. We all do. There was a job. I was on Shades of Blue on NBC with J Lo and mm-hmm. Ray Liotta.
Yeah, me too.
And my, I'm right getting it. Were you an actor?
It was
I'm
right before you were on.
Okay, yeah. But I got people were like, "You're never going to get this. This is someone who was born in Brooklyn, and you know." And I went in with a leather jacket and spoke like with a Brooklyn accent, and I
Done.
Got it. I tricked them. That doesn't always work.
Yeah. But well, where are you from?
I'm from Washington State.
Why? Yeah, that's a waste for Brooklyn. That's not Brooklyn, is it? Yeah.
But the pre-Broadway tryout. For you, you've had Broadway success. You mentioned Hello Dolly, but also Cinderella, other yeah. Broadway musicals. Do you like the concept of going somewhere else to try it out before it comes back to Broadway?
You know, this is the first time I've ever done it. So I'm excited to... I've never been out of town and then brought a show in. I've never really spent much time in Chicago. I sang in Millennium Park, where this concert is tonight at 6:15 for free. I did like two plugs for the price of one. Price, no one's getting paid.
Went from delightful to really bitter there so fast.
It's rubbing off. I've only been in Chicago that other time, which was last year for like 2 days. So I'm excited to be able to spend some time here and be out of town. Good. Yeah, I've never done it.
It's going to be a Dave. You do some recreational cross dressing. Can you have any tips on?
That's not exactly.
Sure.
We'll talk after.
But okay. He does attend a lot of concerts and shows with his wife, and it's going to be a beautiful night. It's like a perfect night to watch something like
for
this
what?
Millennium yeah. Park.
Perfect night for what? Is there a concert tonight?
There's a concert tonight in Millennium Park for free. It starts at 6:15, but if you want to get a good seat, you should come early.
How many songs do you sing?
I don't. Well, I'm actually not singing. However.
Why don't you lie to the public? Let's do as many people as possible. Who's going to be singing from Tootsie?
No one, because Tootsie's not
being previewed.
We're in rehearsals.
Yeah.
We want to keep it under wraps.
That's
it's
exactly
that
right. That's exactly right. However, I gave you the list of shows where there will be songs, and it's going to be tremendous. So are you going to be on someone's shoulders up front screaming for an encore?
I may be.
All right, fine. Santino Fontana's here. More in a moment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Santino Fontana's here. And Tootsie will be here soon. BroadwayInChicago.com is always the best way to get tickets. Tonight is the big concert in the park. And Santino, we're really enjoying having you here, Santino. And since you're up, why don't you just hang around?
I would love to hang around. Thank you so much.
All day.
Why not?
Are there any rumors about Dustin Hoffman coming to see Tootsie?
Not that I know of, to be honest.
Have you met him?
I have not.
He's here. Let's bring him out right now.
He's also awake.
Yes, he is.
No, I have not.
But it's an iconic role. Does that make it more, I don't know, scary?
I think it's all scary pretty equally. I think what the great thing is, it's I didn't remember the movie when the director had called me and talked to me about it, and I went back and watched it. This is a couple years ago now, and I did watch it then and was like, oh, no wonder it's a classic. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's really funny, and the script
Bill
is
Murray.
Great. Bill Murray, Terry Garr.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the cast is great.
Tremendous.
Debbie Coleman.
There's a lot of pressure with something like this because you did Hamlet. Everybody does Hamlet. You know, like Hello, Dolly. Everybody does Hello, Dolly. High School, whatever. Tootsie.
Brand
this
new.
Is like, if this doesn't stick, it's kind of on you, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, this could kill your career. I mean, if you stink this up, you got nothing.
Well, I'm always there. I always feel like I'm two bad decisions away from teaching PE in Montana, so I'm always ready.
I don't know why it's Montana, but if that's your dream.
Why not?
Sure, of course.
Wyoming? Where else is there very few people and a lot of space?
In your career, to have the success you've had on stage, do you, as an actor, is the ambition to parlay that into more stage screen time to find, like you mentioned, the NBC show, but also, of course, playing Hans and Frozen? Is that the goal, is to make sure that you're moving in that direction?
I think the goal is just to keep playing great characters and great stories and with great people. And whatever the medium is, I've been lucky enough that I was in Sisters with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. So I've done a handful of both film stuff and TV and stage, and just kind of keeping it all moving.
This is an odd thing to say, I suppose, but what haven't I said that's not odd? Sidney Pollack, genius.
Genius.
And I wish he was here, because he's the kind of guy that, if I were in your shoes, I'd love to talk to.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, yeah, exactly right.
And he's a much better actor than he ever got credit for.
He was a great actor.
Really was.
Yeah. He really was.
On the flip side, conversely, there seem to be more people coming from screen to stage. I mean, you'll see more headliner people on Broadway that they want that name to be on the marquee to get people in seats. As someone who is a professional Broadway actor, how do you view that? Is that good for Broadway? Is it bad for opportunities? Where do you stand on the idea of Hollywood coming to stage?
Well, I think that's been going on forever. I do think, as long as they can, as long as the actor is great at doing what they need to do, then I think it's all good. It's when, you want to make sure that, especially theater actors, who it's a different skill. You know, it's not. I did. Yeah, I'm not going to tell any stories. But it's a skill, and so I think a lot of times there are people who come from TV or movies who have never done stage, who want to, and they think it's easier, and they are always rudely
awakened. The schedule alone, it takes to get up and sing your heart out and then do it sometimes 8 hours, 4 hours later.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's tremendous discipline.
Stage is much harder than television, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're your own
editor. Well, don't get angry with me.
I feel like if
that
there's bitterness, if any bitter is coming from anywhere, it's right there.
So. Oh, you stop it already. Tootsie, individual tickets on sale now. Group tickets as well. Chicago group sales at 312-977-1710. It's only, 2-3 weeks that it's in town before it goes to Broadway.
September 11th through October 14th.
So that's
a month.
3 days.
I don't know.
BroadwayInChicago.com. And don't forget, tonight, major concert event, the Chicago Summer Concert, featuring just some great, great, great songs from a modern slice of Broadway. August 13th would be today. 6:15 is the time tonight at the Pritzker Pavilion at Millennium Park.
Free.
And are you doing backstage when I come to see you in Tootsie?
Yeah, sure. What do you mean doing backstage?
Like, can I come backstage and hang out?
Of course, of course.
We can swap stories.
Mr.
about
Mr. Hollywood
it,
right? over
Absolutely,
here.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I have a bucket of ice and some every day, and I'm in a robe.
Do you need to see my rider, for my contract?
Just white M&Ms.
My backstage demand.
Absolutely.
Backstage.
And a harness in case you want to do aerial work.
There is that.
Juggling balls.
It's going to bring the cost of the show up. You know, the engineers and harnesses.
Not my money.
Not a problem. Social media plug. Where do people follow you?
My my name, Santino Fontana, at Santino Fontana.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Nothing but good luck and break a leg and all that.
Thank you.
All right, it is 9:31. More in a moment. BroadwayinChicago.com, 720 WGN and CLTV.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We've been told people start sobbing.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
For some, it's just a life-changing event.
On 720 WGN.
There's a lot of crying on this show. You know, one of the great honors of doing a morning show at WGN, aside from all the things we talk about a lot, is over the years I've gotten to know him, able to call this guy my friend. Happy anniversary. 40 years to Tom Skilling. How are you, buddy?
Steve Cochran, how are you? Hey, Steve, right back at you. You have been one of the joys of my life knowing you. And nice. I'll tell you. And I just salute your success and cherish it and appreciate it and celebrate it. It's good to hear from you, Steve.
Well, can you believe it's been 40? I know everybody has said this to you in the last couple of weeks. 40 years. How long does it feel?
You know what, Steve? That's a good question. First of all, it goes so fast.
Sure.
You know, I remember standing up at Harry Boltman's memorial. They asked me to say a few words, and the only thing I could think of is I remember visiting him as a kid and with my parents, and I thought, my gosh, how fast all this goes by. I can remember sitting in a conference room at the little radio station I worked at up in Madison, Wisconsin, when I was going to school, and they had cable TV up there, and we got WGN-TV, and I'd listen to Max and Orion on the noon show every day to and from work. And I'll tell you, the thought of ever working at WGN, much less having spent 40 years of doing it, never even crossed my mind. I thought it was a virtual impossibility, so I didn't even go there. But I'll tell you, Steve, it's been something. In my line of work, Steve, it's amazing what's happened in the last 50 years in meteorology, and 40 of them I've watched at WGN.
You know, Justin, when Tom started, they had the little tinfoil H's and tinfoil L's, and they'd paint them colors, and they'd put them up, and they were magnetic.
Steve, Fred Flintstone was still driving around with Barney, you know, and Dino. Tom, remember that? I'll tell you, you know, we had the dinosaurs walking outside the station, you know.
But there's one thing to say that so much has changed over 40 years, but a lot of it has been how you have interpreted that information. It's available to everybody, but a lot of newscasts and weathercasts that we've seen over the years, they don't change anything. For you to bring so much of that into your cast, talk about how you had to make that transition.
Oh, Justin, you're incredibly kind. You know something? I got to tell you, I used to scare the living daylights out of these news consultants. They would come in, and I remember they'd sit me down, not at WGN, but I remember when I worked in Milwaukee, they'd sit you down across a conference table, and they'd just look grimly at you and have their books with all the market research in it, which I'm told wasn't bad. And, you know, I was told that sometime later, but at the time I thought, well, this is it. This is the day they hand me the pink slip, you know, and tell me to go do whatever I do somewhere else. But they didn't want you to mention jet streams or dew points. They would say, the viewers you're way above them. I'm way ahead of them on this. And I thought, that's not true. People are smart. And I think there's at least a modicum of curiosity about how tomorrow's weather and the weather and the week ahead is going to come together.
No doubt. And here's the thing. All of those people that brought in market research and wanted to tell you how to do things, they're all gone now. They didn't survive. Sandra.
I'm not sure if you can narrow this down, but what's your favorite advancement over the 40 years that it made the biggest difference in your weather?
Is it a Doppler or is
You know what? It's the numerical modeling, these computer models. You know what they did, Mary? They made us think logically. When these things first came out, you know, when I was starting, people laughed at the idea that a computer could tell us anything about what the weather is going to do. And today, these things are amazing. You know, they're not perfect. This is a complex system, but by George, they have taken us to places we never believed we were going to go.
Now, do you like the Euro? Do you like the NAM? What's your favorite computer model?
Oh, you talk the talk, my friend. I'll tell you. Yeah. That is, you know what? Every one of them has its own strengths and weaknesses. And on any given day, one might be better than the other. But you know what we're doing now? We run multiple versions of the same model. And what they do is they take the millions of observations, they in the case of our U.S. model, 22 different ways. The Europeans reinterpret them 51 different ways. And then they run the physics package that tells you where the weather's going to go. And you get 51 or 22 different solutions, and then they can average them. But what you see is what the most likely set of outcomes is going to be. We never had access to that type of stuff before.
No.
It's a testament to how fast these computers have become.
Tom, at one point, had a rotating dartboard, and it said partly cloudy, sunny, thunderstorm. He'd throw a dart. That's how it was done.
Oh, yeah. And we had those leaking flow pens, you know, that would get all over your clothes. You know, there's a story about Harry Volkman walking up to John Drury. You know, they were going to close off the show. And so John read the last news story, turned to Harry, who hadn't realized the flow pen had leaked in his pocket, and his shirt was drenched in black ink. And he didn't even realize it. And Drury melted down on the air, you know, seeing this. But we all went through that. This stuff was awful. And then they had these blinking highs and lows. They had a plexiglass, or they had a motor-driven thing with plated glass that would rotate in front of a light that shone down on your map, and it would make the would send polarized light down. It would make the highs and lows blink. And when these rotating plates of glass went off their track up above you in the lighting grid, it sounded like you had opened a steel mill or a lumber mill in the background. We went through all kinds of stuff
But back then, that was state of the art. That was state of the art.
It was
cool, and it couldn't have been cooler. Dave, say hi to our friend Tom.
Tom, how are you?
Dave, I'm fine. How are
congratulations.
You?
Congratulations.
Thank you,
Dave. I just have to say, I get the chance when I'm in working sports like I will be tonight, I get to watch Tom at work when he's doing his forecast at about 9:35. And it's just, there's so much. I'm waiting for the prompter to come on and Tom's working without a prompter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Doesn't need a script.
Well,
Tom, you do have a team of people that I know you always recognize, but you got a team of people that helps you come up with the information.
Oh, my gosh. You know, we do the Tribune page. We do the blogging and all. I do. I have Bill Snyder, my producer. I have four fellas who are retirees from the National Weather Service who helped me. Paul Daly, Steve Kahn, Rich Koneman, Paul Merzlach. These guys are big names in the weather profession because for years we read their products out of the Weather Service. So we all work as a team. We take different pieces of the preparation every night and for all these products, and we work together. And it's been a joy because for so many years I worked all by myself. And to have other great meteorological minds in my midst, you'd be amazed the things you learn from other people's expertise. It's really fun. It really is.
So, Tom, did you send Paul Conrad a text yesterday? 22 years, ha? Huh?
You know, I just talked to them on the TV side. No, but that's a heck of an idea, Mary. I've got to do that. You know,
what do you get for 40 years at Tribune? What have you received any kind of gift from the company? Because I want to speak for Larry. Well, Wirt. Take his credit card.
Hey, now there's an idea, or borrow the yacht, or something like that, you know?
Yes.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, I got something. I can have Pat Tomasulo killed.
Well, that's exactly right. One of the greatest videos of all time. Oh, it's so great.
He wrote that line, so now he's got to live with it, you know?
So funny. But, it is so funny.
He is a funny guy. Yeah, that was when Sam Zell took over the place, and we had the signs all over that you own the place, and he did a bid on that and came in and fired, you know, on this bid. And I told him, you know, you don't even own your car. Who are you to tell me that I'm fired, you know?
And I could have you killed.
I know.
And you sold that line so well.
When I read that Steve. I said to him, he came in a couple days ahead of time and kind of quietly said, would you help us on a bit we're doing on the morning show? And he came in with this script, and that was it. By the way, Steve, every time I see Dave in there, I said, now what time were you up this morning with Cochran? Because you're up early in the morning.
No, it's ridiculous. He's like a bat. He hangs upside down. He sleeps for 15 minutes. I don't even know what he's made of.
And he's as wide awake and sharp.
And handsome. You know, and still good looking. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. Not a hair out of place. No. You know, it's true.
You and I both remember hair.
I know. It's a distant memory, Steve, for each of us. But we do remember those days.
Hey, buddy, I love you. I couldn't be more thrilled that 40 is just a good start for you. Have a great party and a great day today. And watch tonight, because at 9 o'clock in particular, they're going to be showing some great Tom Skilling stuff and talking to you about this stuff.
Oh,
happy
God.
Anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Steve, I love you. And, hey, to the whole group, keep knocking them dead in the morning.
Thanks,
guys.
Bud.
You're doing a great job.
Well, that means a lot coming from you. Thank you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
And I was just going to say, Bill and Wendy coming up in just a second. Also want to remind you, on tomorrow's show, we'll talk to David Curley from ABC News to try to give us some sense of what we know by then about how a guy stole a commercial airliner from the Seattle airport. All right, last break, then Bill and Wendy next. Bill and Wendy are here. Dave just told us a great little bit of Tom Skilling trivia. Dave, tell me the music story.
Well, at the end of every newscast at 10:29, whatever it is, Tom, back in the weather office, selects the music that they play to end the show.
It's kind of cool, huh?
It's very cool.
Yes, it's something different every night.
Does he ever play it live? Comes out with a pan flute or something?
Hasn't done that yet, but I wouldn't doubt his ability to do so.
He could do it.
Totally do
was
it.
Was he a DJ before being a weatherman?
Because that's very
that's a DJ thing,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Steve, you can't debate how good your show is. You just do, every day you come in and you just do
a
great
so
show.
Oh, kind setting up
what
this
do you need,
bit.
Bill?
That said, I have found a show on satellite radio, Buckethead and Joe, that is such a great show. You would love it. I know you're doing a show during
You're looking
it,
out this window in these beautiful studios at the Sheraton?
Yeah.
Buckethead was staying there just
staying
a couple
at that hotel?
Of days ago.
Buckethead?
Yeah.
Oh, man, is he good.
Yeah. You ever been to a radio convention?
No, I keep getting
good
the
call.
Invites. But it's this year especially, it was too far away. I couldn't go to
it. Right across the river, yeah.
What would you do if a guy you used to work with who you know and don't have any issues with doesn't call when he's in town?
I heard that story. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You're kind of trapped in a corner, aren't you?
Well, I said I was sort of annoyed by it, and then I remembered the people I was having lunch with. I didn't tell them I'd been in New York for 5 days, and I didn't call them.
Well, it happens all the time because of social media now, meaning you see that
you
they're
there.
So
you can't
like,
hide.
You can't hide. So then I feel like, well, you know what?
When I was doing stand-up, and you know, because you did the same thing, I was in a different city every week.
Sure.
Right? So whenever I was in a city where my mom and dad knew somebody, they'd say, did you call the Kerners? And I go, no, I didn't call the Kerners. You're in Minneapolis and you didn't call the Kerners?
What do you say when you call them?
I never met them. They were friends of my parents.
Worse?
Hey, did you get this? Oh, it's you know the
Bill.
Kerners.
You just call them.
Bill
they'd
left.
Love to hear from you. And do what? Just say, I'm in the same city as you.
Want to let and you know I was around the block? That's hilarious.
We'll see you tomorrow, and I hope you'll listen then. Here's Wendy.
All right, the Kerners coming up on this show.